And welcome back to yet another episode of Deep Thinking with racers Michael Gugis and Ed Sorbo, the motorcycle road racing podcast, or the podcast with everything to do with motorcycle road racing.
Whichever way you like saying it, it's show number 6.
The Judea's People Front, or the People's Front of Judea. You know what?
Too much time in college, Michael.
I love that movie. It's Monty Python's Life of Brian. And it's when somebody's trying
always
to
look on the bright side of life.
I think it's John Cleese who's trying to rouse the troops. He's like, "What have the Romans ever done for us?" And somebody says, "Running water." And it's like, okay, other than
useful.
Running water, what have the Romans, and they get to the end of the scene, and it's like, okay, other than running water, a modern medical system, a highway system, a judicial system, what have the Romans done for, nothing!
Yeah, rape and pillage.
Exactly. Ah, it's wonderful. All right, why are we here? Why do we exist? Oh, God. Anyway, way too big a question. Let's talk
Not
about...
really. No. We're here to race motorcycles.
You know...
Duh.
Why is there no major religion founded on that
there
idea?
There is. Are you kidding me? We meet at weekends and Sundays at racetracks
good point.
All around the world.
You know what? Give us about another 100 years, and we might be able. We'll apply for tax exempt status as a church.
What's the name of that famous comedian that has the TV show Friends? Steinfeld.
Yeah, it's not his show. Jerry Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, right? He claims that the reason we took a car to the moon was to see if there was any chicks to pick up. He's wrong.
Right.
We took a car to the moon to explore the possibility of racing. In 1/6 G.
Exactly.
And it's awesome.
Have you ever seen the Bridgestone commercial with the moon buggy?
No, I haven't
Dude,
seen that.
Those guys are having sideways, big clouds. Yeah, those
Dude,
guys are having a
Dude, you think
ball.
A triple jump is a cool thing?
Exactly.
Let's go to
Do
the moon,
moon,
my friend.
That would be, you know what the fun, dude, imagine what a high side would be like on the moon.
Oh, yeah, you'd be like, woo, a high side again, yeah.
God damn it, it's going to be 3 laps
before
I come
back down.
You
know, and you don't have to build a supercross track. They got craters.
Oh, God.
Dude, you could race NASCAR on the crater banking.
You know,
if you
awesome.
Were to build the coolest racetrack anywhere, would you like to know where it would be
where?
Besides the moon?
Where?
It would be inside Diamond Head Crater on the island of Oahu.
You'd
have a
that.
High banking on the crater walls.
I don't know
and
about
on,
that.
And it's a huge space on the infield. For a road course.
I have two words, lava rock. I did it.
No. The whole island is lava rock. If you
I
think
know. That,
that
stuff
way,
scares the crap
the
out of me.
The island's old enough it has this stuff called soil now.
No, not the roads that I did a BMW
You
intro
went
there.
To the Big Island.
Yeah, was it the Big Island?
See, I said Oahu,
okay.
Bonehead.
There's a difference?
Yeah, there is. Oh, there's the state of Hawaii. There's the biggest island of the group, which is also called Hawaii, to confuse the tourists, so,
right?
So we call it the Big Island. And then there's a total of 7 islands.
I knew that.
Yes. And Oahu is the major island in terms of that's where the capital is, Honolulu.
I was kind of being facetious.
And it's the only island there with a population that doesn't also have a racetrack. The other little islands with very small populations, like Kauai,
right,
has a racetrack literally on the beach.
Cool.
If you go look at it in Google Maps,
right,
you can see where the waves wash sand across the drag strip. Okay, that's on the beach.
Okay,
no screwing around. And they got
totally
a beautiful
badass.
Looking little go-kart track there.
Really?
Yeah, and I think there's like 12 go-karts on the whole freaking island. And then
so
Oahu
awesome.
Doesn't even have a track right now. Sacrilege. Nah. And so, perhaps our topic, TV and exposure,
right,
could help address this issue.
Death spiral is my term for it.
Japanese zero going
in. The MotoGP, the people who own MotoGP, are
geniuses and scholars?
No, let's what's the 180 polar opposite of that concept? It's short-term economic gain. Right now, as always, TV contracts are being renegotiated. Dorna makes its money on selling TV contracts. And what they are doing is they are selling the rights to pay-per-view companies, because pay-per-view and subscription-based programs are actually more profitable for Dorna. They can sell those for much more because the pay-per-view company thinks that they're going to get revenue not just from advertising. They're not just going to get just advertising revenue, but they're also, obviously, somebody's going to pay them. You and I, the watchers, are going to pay huge amounts of money to watch the actual race. And that's why I call it death spiral, because this is going to be a problem for the teams. It's already become a problem for some teams, and it's going to be a much worse problem in the future.
How so? More people watching the show for the team.
That's the problem. It's not more people watching the show. What we saw in England was we saw that the audiences dropped by 85% when you went from free TV or a basic cable type of package where you pay a couple extra bucks a month and you get, it's the United States.
Yeah, free-ish TV.
Free-ish TV.
So the problem is that you got a kind of TV coverage, whether it's over a TV signal in the air or a cable or whatever.
Right.
That lots and lots and lots of people, basically everybody, can view.
Right.
So they're flicking channels and go, wow, what's that?
Right.
Right? Oh, there's that. I've heard of that Rossi guy.
Right.
Okay. And so then this new model you're talking about is putting more money into Dharma's pocket directly.
Dorna. Right.
Doorknob,
right.
But the viewership goes down because you lose all those regular folks because
right.
you've got to pay for it somehow.
And the first time I ever saw motorcycle road racing, I in print, was in Sports Illustrated. It was not a magazine devoted to motorcycle road racing. It was in Sports Illustrated. It was Kenny Roberts on those black and yellow Yamahas at Daytona, right? Two fingers on the clutch lever at
all times. Yeah.
Two fingers on the...
There's a great description of how much safer racing
Jesus,
has become,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right? You know? And the first motorcycle road racing I ever saw was on some sort of omnibus sports program that was available to anybody. And I think it was a 250.
So the model that works beautiful for me, I know what I want to watch. I go on my computer,
right.
I pay for it, doesn't work on the big scale.
Right.
So this pay-per-view thing and this internet stuff can reach out to the enthusiasts. But
right.
the enthusiasts aren't enough on the large scale.
Not at all.
Okay.
And here's where your problem is. Sponsors. Repsol cannot survive. We like to use Repsol because they're a really good illustration of a sponsor, okay? They cannot survive on just the people who road race motorcycles.
Right, because the product that they're selling has a really small profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to sell lots and lots and lots of it.
Exactly.
And that means more than just to enthusiasts. But then enthusiasts, by the way, half of them already love some other lubricant company. Because
right.
that, right? It's divided up already.
Absolutely.
That pie is done. Okay.
How
do we solve this problem?
Well, we need TV exposure. You need TV exposure.
And by TV, you mean normal broadcast type.
Free or free-ish.
The stuff that my mom gets.
Exactly.
Okay?
Because your mom might stumble across it.
Absolutely. And then she might like the Tide commercial.
Right.
And then she might buy Tide.
She might. Hey, Pata. Yeah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. If you have if I'm not pronouncing correctly and you want to correct me, dial our toll-free number. right.
We'll announce it later.
Pata is a snack manufacturer.
Okay.
Okay. If you happen to eat their snacks, you're flicking through the channels, you see the logo on the side of a bike. If you have any interest in bikes whatsoever, you're like, hey, what the hell is that? Right. It's really cool. It worked really well for tobacco companies.
Buy more Pepsi. Support Kevin Schwantz.
Yeah, if you're a
dude, that totally works.
You've got a Pepsi in your hand, yeah. and you're flicking through channels, and you see a cool looking bike with the Pepsi logo on it. You know, Coca-Cola was for a long time the title sponsor of Suzuka.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hours. Long time.
You know,
I raced there when they were the title sponsor.
Oh, you're kidding! Oh, that's right. You did the 250 race, right?
Naked bike 4 hour.
Oh my God!
I tried out for the 8 hour on a team with kitted RC30s,
mm-hmm.
and didn't quite make the cut, but they liked me, and so they brought me back for the Naked Bike 4 hour, which is a support race.
That's so cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah, you those guys are bailing. Those companies, the snack companies, the big companies that need to sell to people, massive numbers of people, those people are bailing. Even companies like Repsol, you know, the big
negative. We get it. It's not working. What's the solution?
Hold on. I'm getting to the solution.
I'm not good at holding on.
No, I know. It's just Mr. Patience over here. Those guys are thinking too. Rapid Solicitors, ring a bell?
Nope.
Okay. They are the title sponsor for Paul Bird Motorsports. They have just won the British Superbike Championship. They just won it for the fourth time with Shaky Byrne, who's the first guy in history to win four British Superbike titles. and Rapid Solicitors just left them as their title sponsor.
Right, because they are looking at eyeball views of their logo, and if they're not there, the championship doesn't mean anything
if
to
nobody's
them.
Looking.
The championship is a venue to or a process to right. get your name out in front of other
and that's,
people.
And that's exactly what they. This is really cruel. They quit via email. They sent Paul Byrd an email saying, we're no longer coming back next year. And they said, we're going to go spend our money on free TV ads. So how do you solve it? Well, you need eyeballs is the name of this game. Sponsors want TV. Okay, sponsors want TV. They're also going to be looking for other stuff as well in the near future. There was a time when you couldn't find enough programming to fill cable television. Okay.
Yeah.
You remember?
Now you just make a channel for your crazy ass whatever.
Exactly. I mean, God, I used to love watching Speed. They used to have a show called Wings, and it was just old. It was free, declassified U.S. military footage of the Allies dropping bombs on Nazis. Well, who didn't love that?
Yeah.
Cool machines and the good guys win, right? Yeah. Now, it's a struggle to find a spot on cable TV. Now it's a struggle. I'd be willing to bet that the AMA's new TV deal is a pay-per-view deal, a paid deal. They're paying CBS Sports to put motorcycle road racing
well,
in the air.
That's the way it's been for a long time,
right?
Since the advent of cable, right? Before that, you had four places you could go. Those guys wanted, you know, quality shows, so they would pay for it. But now it's a different economy, a different system.
Right.
And you pay, and then you hope to make the money back somewhere else.
Right.
So if you can't get big sponsors for the teams participating in your sport, unless you're on TV,
right,
then you provide the TV, which then gets the money in, and you make your money off of entry fees or whatever way you're going to do it.
Or, you know, and this is something that people think I'm crazy for believing.
No, you're crazy.
That's true. I'll believe damn near anything. No, it's not true. I believe very little. Or what you do, and this is really insidious. So I mentioned that Dorna's making money off of their pay-per-view model. They get the money. They turn around increasingly with each year. They have to spend more money on teams. They're actually distributing cash to teams that could not afford to be there otherwise. They are Livio Supio. Livio Supo, manager of Honda's MotoGP program, says that for several years, Dorna has actually been the biggest sponsor of several teams on the grid. You have, by going pay-per-view, you eliminate the possibility of teams bringing their own sponsors in. And that kills the middle part and the back part of your grid. And that really, really wrecks the program.
So we had, in the past, mm-hmm. a model that worked for a few.
Right.
And sometime in the future, Michael and I both think that there's going to be a model that works for everybody that involves all kinds of different media.
Right.
People are going to be able to make their own TV shows, basically, and get it out there.
Right.
The troubled waters that I see are between these two points. How do we bridge the gap? A great example would be if you are in the print media, if you have a newspaper, how do you make it to where you're making revenue on a digital newspaper?
I'm glad you asked me, Ed. How do we get from here to there?
Exactly.
Because there's actually a model already. You look at college teams, their conferences. Their conferences have essentially bought cable networks, or they buy space on cable networks. They split the cost amongst all of them, you know, and that way, and they negotiate who's gonna play a game and who's gonna be on TV and blah blah blah, right? But they've bought their own space in the media landscape. The conferences don't make money. The colleges make the money. The conferences are basically, and not entirely, but they're basically nonprofits. The precise word is cooperatives. And if you go at it with that model, if you go at it with that approach, then you can buy and create the cable TV time that's needed to bring in those big sponsors, and that buys you the time to move to a variety of different other platforms. Internet's critical. Smartphones are critical. I get a kick out of you mentioning watching the dude in the stands, you know, watching lap times.
Oh, that was cool. That was at the Superbike shootout at Fontana.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm up in the grandstands watching the race, And we, me and, I don't know, 20 other people total kind of coalesced into a group. We were all within speaking distance of each other. And I was the most experienced person in this group, so I could say who, well, that's Josh Hayes, that's Chris Ulrich, right? That's turn one, right? And then this other guy had with some kind of smartphone device was keeping us informed of who was in what position because it was coming up on his screen as they crossed the line. So we were like our own little pod of all the information that we need. Somebody just turned a new track record or, you know, whatever. So-and-so did his best lap just now, right?
Right.
It was awesome.
Right.
And yeah, so that's a perfect example of all these media things coming together. You know, your college team example is beautiful. Another functioning example of using all of the...
I think you're beautiful too, Ed.
It's the legs. Another perfect example of incorporating all the different kinds of media and the different players within the racing is the Canadian Superbike Series.
Right.
They, those guys are doing it perfect again. So there are ways to do it that will work. And, you know, you're going to have to try this and try that. Just like tuning, like, you know, he complains about X, and you think that this is the solution, and you try it, and that was kind of sort of, that was 50% right? Just like anything else, you can find an answer to the problem.
This really is a mason jar that I'm drinking out of. It actually has the word mason right on it.
Yeah.
What a trip. I'm sorry, I digress.
We're having iced tea left over from our British Royal Navy toasts from their earlier show. That's Michael choking. It's pretty funny.
That's some funny shit right there, Maynard.
I know CPR, but he may not.
What did the doctor say? The doctor said you're gonna die.
That's right.
It works. It works if you look at the promotional apparatus as not a profit center. That's the real problem that you've got with Dorna versus racing, because it really is Dorna versus racing. Dorna is a media production company, essentially, and it's trying to suck up as much money as it can. And when it does that, there's less money left over for the racing.
Fortunately, in our part of the world, we have an organization that appears to be doing it for the greater good.
Moto America.
And they are more likely,
clearly
right now, I know that right now they are gathering input from the major players in the sport in America, the teams, the guys that have been around for a while, the riders and such, and trying to come together up with a package that works for everybody. That's the first step.
Right.
What you're describing with Dorma is they're trying to keep their investors happy. And,
yes.
And what's the term? Service their debt.
Yeah, exactly. Return on investment.
Which is like, oh, man.
This was the problem. And this was, you know, and I'm as guilty as anybody. When DMG bought AMA Pro Road Racing, I thought, thank God, now we've got some deep pockets who can invest in this sport. What I overlooked was the fact that there's a reason that billionaires get to be billionaires.
Yeah.
They don't invest in bad businesses.
Right.
And they were not going to pour money into something, and they weren't going to pour money into something that wasn't going to give them a return comparable to what they could get from their other businesses.
The other thing that happened in that situation, which I'm not seeing this time, at least not yet, but it's still very early, is unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
You know,
these
it's
guys
like, this rich guy is going to rescue us. We don't have to do anything anymore.
Right.
And one of the things that you have to do, kind of, to keep your public show going, which is what we're trying to have, right, is shut your freaking mouth about the dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's going to put on anything as complicated, nearly as complicated as racing, and have it go perfect.
No.
You're not going to agree with all of the ideas and the things that are being tried and all that kind of stuff. And even if they do something that's like just stupid, yelling and screaming about it in a public place isn't going to help.
It usually doesn't
help. And hopefully, you know, the people that we got now have learned that lesson. And obviously, everybody has learned the lessons from AMA and then from DMG.
Right.
And they're all going to try to do a little bit better, and it could work. The economy is going up now instead of going down.
Absolutely. You know, it's a rising tide.
1 minute warning. Boat.
1 minute warning. Now we're going to go long. I got things to say. I do get the impression that while you've got smart people in Moto America, I get the impression that they're not looking this as another way to make themselves all billionaires.
No,
I do get that impression.
They're trying to make a series that will work.
Exactly.
If you're trying to make money in racing, out of your freaking mind.
Exactly.
Nobody
you're out of your mind.
Does that.
And I'm not saying that everybody has got to work for free. I'm not saying that this is like, you know, a vocation of their volunteer time or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that if they can take a longer view, if they can not do the short term, oh, somebody's going to pay us this amount of money for a pay-per-view deal, you know,
right.
Can we cash the check by Friday?
Yeah.
If you can ignore that and look at the long-term view, that you have to have an audience in order to have the exposure that brings the sponsors, that makes this work. If they can remember that, we're in way, way, way better shape.
And I want to just expound briefly on the point about people getting paid. It has to be a model that makes money. It
yes.
has to be a real business.
Yes.
The employees have to get paid a fair salary. You can't do it on the volunteer basis.
No.
It's not a club. It is a business.
Even clubs don't work. If you got to pay.
Well, ones that work on volunteer basis have many troubles.
Exactly.
2-minute warning.
Oh, okay. 2-minute warning. Ed, so Moto2 has just announced that it's going to stick with a single motor, the Honda 600 motor, through 2018. What do you think about single engine classes for motorcycle road racing?
Kind of don't care.
Yeah.
You know, right?
exactly.
It's the show. Yeah. And I don't know enough about the details of what they're doing and why to know why this or why that.
It's cheap. Cheap.
Yeah, right? you know, the thing is, if you're using a production 600 motor, they're all the same.
Yeah.
What the hell's the difference? So I'm going to have to pass on answering that question because I don't care enough.
I do.
Okay,
I care a lot.
Hey, Michael,
let
me ask you the same question. Go.
What do I think?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's the problem. I miss the
interaction. The racing's exciting.
It used to be.
Dude, that last round at whatever that was for Moto2 with the battle and the guy runs out of gas on the way to the line and all that stuff, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
You don't need a bunch of rules to make that happen. That shit happens on its own.
You got lucky with that one. Yeah. Actually, if you look at Moto2 over the past few years, the number of people leading laps is on a downward slope as everybody gets used to the bike. And next year, it's going to be all about spec. It's going to be spec racing, you know? And the problem is that no manufacturer.
I'm not sure that spec racing works at the very, very highest level.
I think you need one class of it, but I think that you're missing an opportunity because everybody makes a 600.
Yeah.
You do the rules right, you could have five manufacturers in that class.
Clearly, MotoGP has the big class is going great.
Yeah.
The other two classes need some work.
Yeah, yeah. There is no reason, dear God, to have a $500,000 250cc single.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, thanks for listening once again. I'm Ed Sorbo.
I'm Michael Gugis.
Aloha.